Good morning. Thanks for the time, and I appreciate the introduction and time. On my third visit to Unity Renaissance, then meeting in a rental facility over in Great Bridge in Chesapeake, the founding minister and ultimately my decreed spiritual mother, Reverend Judy Meyer, announced that the rental facility was sold and that we were going to move to Indian River High School auditorium for services for a year. This was during a time that we were searching for a piece of property and looking to construct a building. It was a big change, and I was new. Well, as many of you know, that when you come to Unity Renaissance, you feel like this is your true spiritual home. And I certainly felt that and was in a great and wonderful space about it. Still a newcomer, I wasn't really involved in the planning and the construction. I was working pretty hard in the Navy back then. But I did contribute to the faith bonds that were key in getting the funding necessary to buy the property and ultimately construct the original 7,200 square foot facility here on Eden Way. Now, Reverend Judy talked a lot about Unity Renaissance having the doors open and the lights on. That takes something. And she was very happy with this property and this facility when it was constructed. And she would walk around the grounds saying prayers and blessings for all the people that would come here on Sunday and in all the classes. It was holy ground for her. Now, fast forward 20 years, I was doing a lot of facility maintenance and odd jobs here with my men's group partners, John Root, Jim Hudson, Tony Porton, Bob Lambert, and many others. And we were starting to have leaks in the roof, and we all of a sudden had this new minister named Reverend Paula. Boy, she was filled with energy. And the visions of fixing and extending the footprint of Unity Renaissance was sprouted, and we started the process. During that time, the Unity Board of Trustees saw the need for an active facilities improvement committee. It focused on improving the facility and the property. And we aligned a diverse group of congregants that would be able to contribute in many different ways. Thanks to Jim Hudson, Star Janicki, Reverend Paula, John Kidd, Lee Pennypacker, Susan Lang, Jan Schonborn, Paul Meacham, and Linda McDay for all their contributions and open conversations. In retrospect, identifying all the decisions and resolving the challenges for the plans for the Unity Renaissance facility improvements really ended up focusing on form and function, along with a little bit around money cost. Now, I'm a man, and I'm all about function. And that was a little bit of a challenge. Luckily, I had Star Janicki on the committee, a creative woman who has specialized in interior decorating for most of her life, and she was all about form and some function. I want to emphasize the phrase form and function. There is no or in that between the form and words function. Now, that was a definitely learning for me, and I appreciate all the members of the committee, especially for Star, for keeping the decisions collaborative and open, and along with hearing me mostly about cost. Boy, that didn't look very good. But this was the original facility, 7,200 square feet on the southeast corner of a 4-acre plot here. Next. And, you know, the vision started with our original architect, Jack Aldhaus, as he led us in some great visioning, not only for fixing the original structure, which is down here, original structure down here, but also starting this vision for some type of classrooms and looking ultimately as, you know, making sure we had room to build an additional sanctuary as we went through the process. Some of you will remember when we did this, and it was fun. And I also want to remind everybody of the young people that were there, and they put in their vision of a pool and a lazy river as well. And this is kind of what we ended up with. We evolved into pushing into a single-story addition to complement the original design and to concentrate on known needs. An expanded kitchen, larger bathrooms, additional classrooms, and storage support. We quickly realized that the fixing of the roof here in the original facility and replacing the 25-year-old HVAC units was job one. And then on upgrading the sanctuary to enhance the Sunday experience. This was important. We realized the need in here in the sanctuary to look at better acoustics, which you can see with the soffits that we put in, a lot of the overhead, basically what I call the black clouds that are also here, to enhance those acoustics, but also to upgrade the sound system and create a peaceful environment, which I think, Star, you were so great in making that happen with the form. I can hardly remember the bare white ceiling with the fluorescent lights and all the and that huge sound table back here. It's only a dim memory. I also remember that the HVAC, the input was in the side of the walls here, and it actually blew so hard sometimes that the paper music would go fluttering off the stands over on the other side with the musicians. We created a design, and as you can see in here, we really created something special, I think. We held services throughout the construction, and we completed it in about 4 months. Now came the hard part. We lived through sanctuary construction, and we're very impressed with Todd Williams, our Hoy construction site manager, and the Hoy team, but still the project was fairly small. It was now time to get serious and finalize the plans for the addition. This involves site plans, understanding building requirements, appropriate size of rooms, and integrating the old with the new structure. It was a real challenge. There was a lot of decisions made focused on form and function, along with how these decisions would impact cost and time to construct. After working over 2 years on the architectural plan and getting a new architect, we got to a plan that was approved by the city and affordable within the Hoy cost estimates. What I found was it took a lot of form and function to generate a plan that could meet the visions of the Unity Renaissance family. Open dialogue and continued revisits of the plan ensured a successful plan that, and thanks to you, the congregation, ultimately the owner of this facility, the project got started and we set a date for September 2019 to begin. This is the actual addition. You can see we were constructing on over 8,000 feet, 5,200 in new construction, and 3,000 within the existing facility. This area here is all the new construction, and this was the interior of the old building that is now the new kitchen and the new bathrooms. Well, this was a bright sight for us men's group guys when we actually started demo. And the old shed constructed by the men's group back in the mid-1990s came down. It was pretty ugly over there and leaky. And things really started happening fast. The concrete footers were poured, the steel structure was laid out, and then we got into the main foundation, as you can see, that got poured later. It was really a great vision for all of us. However, in March, as March arrived to 2020, the threat of a worldwide pandemic loomed, and construction slowed, and the challenges began as the supply chains were impacting our deliveries. All services and classes were moved online and live streaming. This was a good thing from the point of view from construction, allowing us to really take over the full church as a construction zone, and not having to clean up things every Sunday for services. Although office functions, and God bless the office staff that was here while we were jackhammering concrete, they continued, and the live streaming group on Sundays would be here to make sure that you were getting the live stream at home. Even with COVID, the work continued. We had some incredible workers here on site, and they were really professionals. These guys are installing the upper window sills for the large cutouts between the existing facility and the new Myers Hall. This was required because of the concrete block above the new doors and the pass-throughs. It's what the kitchen looked like during the construction. And we discovered a lot about the original construction as well. It was all good. The original foundation, which we're sitting on right now, had only basically settled about a quarter of an inch. The concrete walls were insulated, and thank God the sewer lines were big enough to handle the additional fixtures that we were putting in. This shows the kitchen and the drain lines and water lines getting put in. And this shows it all concreted in with the lines and with the cutouts and the sills installed going into Myers Hall. Now, just like the original structure, especially in here, we took time after a Sunday service to place spiritual graffiti throughout the new construction interior walls. This was a great thing. And right in here, inside all these walls, are spiritual graffiti and blessings for us sitting right now. We did the same thing, and we have a YOUer. This is the YOUers right here, Mama. And you can see that all through the walls, we put our notes and love to all those that would come here. We got the walls put in. Again, this is the kitchen. And we also got the windows and eventually the walls up. We now had a facility here inside and outside that allows us to keep the doors open and the lights on. The City of Chesapeake Fire Marshal approved occupancy in late June, and Hoy completed all the punch list items in September of 2020. We had merged all the challenges with form and function and came in $80,000 under budget. This construction really generated a lot of lessons for me and for all of us. Those challenges that we take on, it's incredible what we can learn from it. You know, the site plans, the construction materials, the people, you know, I learned all that, but my history as a naval aviator and making things happen was in my personality, and I saw that changing. I really got in touch with how form and function plays out in all my phases of life. The need to listen, assess, reflect, and modify my perspectives. Now, what I noticed when we completed the construction was we had a facility, but not a congregation. COVID was still a challenge across the region. We were not holding services or activities within the building. The building was beautiful, from my eyes, but lifeless. This is what I really got in touch with on Reverend Judy's comments about keeping the doors open and the lights on. It's not so much the facility, but it's us, me. How are we being? How am I being and contributing to this, my home, my spiritual home? It's a consciousness. And it's not just on Sunday. It's every day. How are we, I, showing up and supporting our congregation all week long, our families, our communities, our neighborhoods, everywhere? How am I showing up in my own spiritual life? And how does this support the way I am being for my spiritual family here at Unity Renaissance? What keeps me centered in my truth? Am I looking at the form and function within my faith? So taking a look at self, I went back to my old reliable as a guide, The Five Principles by Ellen Davenport. Had read this numerous times. If you've not read it, boy, I really recommend it. It's in our bookstore. It's just over 10 bucks. It's a short read, good for me. And I think I've read it now 4 or 5 times. And every time I read it, I get something more about self and my relationship with God and the world. It provides me an understanding for a great mix of form and functionality for my spiritual way of being. Again, doors open. It's not complete without you. Now, if you're not familiar with the five principles, or what the youth of Unity, our teenagers, call the high five, let me review. God is absolute good and everywhere present. There's no talk of the devil. I am. I have a spark of divinity inside me, the Christ spirit within. And oh, by the way, everybody else has that too. I am so important for me. I create. I manifest my world through thought and action. I co-create with the God. Opportunity is always there. Am I taking on those things that are mine to do? I pray. Prayer and meditation connects me with God mind. Going to prayer and meditation is needed prior to any action. And I live. Living and expressing my spiritual truth is a 24/7 job. I express God through my actions and especially my service. So I see the God is and the I am as my form for my spirituality. And these are simple truths that I can align to all the time. Then I see the I create, I pray, and I live as my functional action around who I am being. Lots to think about. Now, Ellen in the book, chapter 5, talks about living, which I think is very an important piece. Living the truth is more about being than doing. It's how we show up for whatever we choose to do. Whether we're a business executive, a stay-at-home mother, a healer, a teacher, or a homeless wanderer, when we are living the truth, any action we take will be from a conscious of spirit and oneness with ego service to the soul. That's awesome. So I'm so appreciative and grateful for the support and the responsibility you, the Unity congregation, placed in the facilities team during this construction. It's a lot of work and it's reality. Something we really did together. Awesome doors that we can open and lights we can turn on. Now the work continues in a different way, keeping the doors open and the lights on. It takes all of us, both physically paying the bills, our tithes, and consciously creating the environment of love and compassion. As I do the work as an individual and contributing as part of the congregation, we are meeting our vision and mission statements. We are creating a spiritually awakened world, and we are transforming lives and the world through our consciousness and actions. It is us. Now, this is a great time to get involved as a volunteer here at Unity Renaissance and within the family. Living your truth and co-creating with other congregants is a great way of being. The annual meeting is today. Your participation in electing Board of Trustee members and understanding the business around Unity ensures a greater functioning congregation. It enables us to be better owners in this place. This is even more important as we go forward looking for the next spiritual leader here and our next minister. So I'd like to take a few minutes in meditation. Please position yourself in your chair, grounded to this earth, and aligning your thoughts to God. We are in gratitude for this place we call Unity Renaissance. It's holy ground. It's brick and mortar, but it's also filled with a consciousness of love and compassion. This is a place of comfort and healing, peace, prayer, and meditation. A place where we can find and be true self. We are creating heaven and earth here at Unity, within our families and our communities in the world. We see ourselves in this spiritual family and within the world, opening doors and illuminating spirits. As Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before others that they see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now take time in the silence.